Good afternoon, and welcome to Stage Talk, KSKA's weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm your host, Steve Hunt. Today we have two people on the show from Cyrano's recent production of Other Desert Cities by John Robin Bates. Currently performing at Cyrano's, we have the director, Shelley Wozniak, who is not only a director, but also a very talented actor. She's directed most recently, well, not most recently, but a few shows she's directed in the past, our Jesus Christ Superstar, Into the Woods, and title of show. She's also performed in all the great books abridged at Cyrano's. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thank you, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, too. Also, we have Gigi Lynch, who's in the show as playing the part of Polly Wyeth, I believe, and she's also performed in quite a few shows recently. People might have seen her over at APU Grant Hall Theater in Flowers for Algernon or at Cyrano's in Hedda Gabler. Welcome to the show, Gigi.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, Other Desert Cities, a reference to an off-ramp, apparently,
right,
out west. Tell us about the play, Shelley. What's the play about for those who haven't seen it yet?
Right. Well, the play takes place in Palm Springs in the Wyeth family home on Christmas Eve, and it revolves around who controls the stories of a family. This family is well-to-do, very well-to-do, one-percenters, really, part of the Hollywood elite, but the Republican side of that. The father was an ambassador for the Reagan administration. Polly is a very Nancy Reagan-esque type character. The daughter is a writer, and the son is a producer of TV shows. There's also Jill Bess. Niemeyer plays the alcoholic aunt, who's sort of a former writer for these movies called the Hillary movies. I'm not really sure what was in them, but they sound crazy.
And Gigi, you are the mother. Tell us about your part.
Yes.
Polly.
Polly's a very complicated person. And like all mothers, very protective of her family, very protective of her own image, of herself and the family. And I love the different layers of her. And I think that's the most interesting thing about this entire show is that every single character comes with so many layers that you just don't quite know what's going to come out of their mouth next.
Right. The whole play circles around a secret, a family secret, mm-hmm. that the daughter, who's a writer, comes back from New York after suffering from depression, and she's written a memoir about this family secret. And so it's who knows what when. And how much do they think they know as opposed to what they really know? Who has secrets with whom? So when we actually started the play, I sat down with the the actors, and I told them at different times that they had to have secrets with different people, secrets that I don't even know. I'm really interested to find out what they are at the end.
Then they wouldn't be secrets.
So that it caused them to make alliances with different characters that were in alignment with the script. And I wanted to approach the script like a battle plan, like a war, because there's this layer of war. It takes place with the backdrop of the invasion or 9/11 and then the invasion of Iraq. So 2004 is the year. It references back to the war in Vietnam. So there's this undercurrent of war, and families can sometimes feel like war. So when we were staging, when we were talking about how we approach scenes, Gigi can tell you, I used words, when are you attacking? When are you retreating? Do you have the high ground in this argument? Do you need to move to the high ground? You know, are you being ambushed? Things like, so that's, we employed the language of war to talk about how we approach staging. And then we talked about propaganda, because so much talks about story. And who controls the story controls the power. So George Orwell in 1984 had this great quote that was sort of my mantra for this, which was, those who control the present control the past, and those who control the past control the future. And that is very much what is happening in this play. Those who control the past in this play controlled everyone's futures. So I don't want to reveal too much, but it's a crazy good play with an awesome script. If you like The West Wing, if you like Brothers and Sisters, if you like quippy comedy, but then a layer of the real universal sort of tensions that happen between human beings, I think this is the show for you.
Because you mentioned The West Wing, because Bates is a writer for a number of TV shows. Was he not?
Right. He invented the show Brothers and Sisters, and he wrote for that show. He wrote for The West Wing, and he also wrote the most recent movie, Stonewall, I think, was his most recent movie.
Well, Gigi, this is his type of dialogue, the type of dialogue we see in TV shows today. It's a much faster, clippier, if that's a word, than a lot of what stage acting has been in the past. Did you have to get used to that kind of style of acting, or is it something that came natural to you?
No, I really had to get used to it. It was, as Shelley knows, with my background being a musician, I tend to memorize my lines in rhythm. And I had to just totally dispense with that. And as a matter of fact, there's one, I'm not going to give it away, but there is one short monologue that I do that it's just kicked into fifth gear so fast that I almost don't even realize what I'm saying because I say it so fast, and that's the way that she directed it. But I didn't understand it at first why she went, and then I totally got it because it just adds another layer, again, layers, of what's happening within the conversation. At that time, I'm talking with my sister, and they have this delightful repartee going on, and then I just kind of go off, and she's just sitting there staring at me as if, what the just happened.
That wasn't a bleep. That was
that was self-editing.
Yeah.
Well, and pacing is a really, really big thing when you approach Bates's script because it is a story about telling stories. Mm-hmm. So you have to have the appropriate amount of pacing. And these guys, apparently, I was not very nice sometimes. I never yelled at anybody.
No,
but
you were great.
And we all conducted ourselves well. They came in off script. We casted. I gave them the script. I said, I want you to come in day one off script because it's really kind of meaty material, and they did it. And after the first rehearsal, I was like, we have something really special here, but I have to help these guys get out of their own way. Because, you know, actors, you know, we are all actors in this room as well as, you know, have had other roles in shows. And we fall in love with our lines. And we think that they're just the most important things. And the most important thing is keeping the audience engaged. The most important thing when you're in the director's seat, as you know, Steve, is it's keeping the pacing of the show. So I would scream out numbers to them. Like, mm-hmm. We're over an hour, you know? And so our goal was to get act one under an hour, and act two was about 35 minutes, and we achieved that.
We'll get back to more talking about the timing of the show here, but I want to just say this is Stage Talk. My guests today are Shelley Wozniak and Gigi Lynch, both from the play Other Desert Cities, being performed at Cyrano's. It's now in its second weekend, coming up again, and playing until November the 15th. And we're talking about this show that has a story about stories and timing and so forth. And I have to say, you mentioned before the Orwell quote about those who know the present or the past. I haven't seen the play, I have to admit. I'll see it coming up real soon. But as you describe it, it almost has a feeling of an Edward Albee play.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, maybe even Virginia Woolf, just especially the alcoholic and the stories people tell each other. And
it's not as dark as that.
I don't think it's as dark as that play.
Yeah.
But is there any kind of – we also mentioned Tennessee Williams before the show started. Are there other playwrights that Bates is drawing from for this, do you think? Or is it all just his own new work?
Well, for me, I think he's paying homage to Williams in the sense that there's this character that is, you know, like in Glass Menagerie, where Tom says, you know, there's this fifth character in this play.
The father,
right? So there's this sixth character in the play who doesn't ever appear, and it's the brother. And the story really revolves around what happened to him. And the family's reaction and knowledge of that situation. So I guess in that sense, and then to me, I love the West Wing. I'm like a wing nut. Isn't that what they call it? So to me, it was, it really, the dialogue and things like that is very modern. I think for audiences, it's very accessible because it's very much the way we speak today. Sometimes you go and see a play like Death of a Salesman, and the language, while still modern, seems somewhat dated. And I think that this really is at a pace of modern life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you think it references any other plays?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
No, I think more the TV shows more than
anything.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
It's more Hollywood and TV in the way that it's written in my mind.
Well, you mentioned that there's all these references to TV and Hollywood and the
the series of films that were made that they produced, I believe, is what you said.
Hillary movies.
The Hillary movies. So this is really a play, I guess, that people who are indoctrinated, not indoctrinated, but are used to more film and TV would really get into.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, the pacing and even the way we do scene interludes and things like that, I wanted it to have a seamless flow. You know, to be like, so when there's music buttons that we'll be playing during scene changes, because I wanted there to not feel like there was a break in the action.
No commercials, though.
No.
It's the TiVo version of a play.
Right, exactly. It's the Hulu Plus without commercials version.
Yeah. And speaking of another character, and I love the fact that she did this, the book is its own character on stage. I mean, once it's delivered, it sits there and it has this weight, really, that everybody just kind of dances around.
And this is the memoir that the daughter brings back, with the stories of a secret that she wants to tell in this
book. Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah, the name of the book is Love and Mercy, and actually Other Desert City's original title was Love and Mercy. So, once Brooke delivers the book, it takes on a life of its own.
I do want to mention the other actors in the show. We have John Ahern, which a lot of people may remember from the Alaska Rep Theater, but then he went off and did stage and television and all that other stuff and then came back. He's amazing. We unfortunately, our original lineman had to drop out, and then Gigi said, "Hey, I know this guy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring him to the read-through." And I said, "Great." And he walked in, and I was like blown away. So he's fantastic. Austin Roach, who I directed in Bob, but then we were unable to do that show. he is phenomenal. Jill Bess Niemeyer, I love her to pieces. I would work with her any day of the week. She challenges herself. Sometimes acting is like skydiving, and she's always the first to the edge and will jump off no matter where we are. Yeah. And Krista Swarting, who I think is just really doing a phenomenal job in the role of Brooke. So, yeah. And then the great production team that we had. We had fantastic lighting designer, set builder. We have an awesome stage manager in Rebecca Gilman. So we're very fortunate to have a lot of the mm-hmm. professional elements in this play.
Yeah, and a lot of personal ones as well. The set is made up of things that are actually from our own homes, and Shelley encouraged me as the mother to help decorate, which I did, so it feels like my house.
And she's a classy babe, so it's a pretty classy set.
I'm sure it is. Theater artists, when you look at plays, we always look at names and titles and as clues, and I have to say, one of the names that jumps out at me is the last name, Wyeth. Is mm-hmm. there any connection between that and the painter Andrew Wyeth? Or is there anything made of that? Or
I would like to tell you I'm that deep, and I totally am not that deep. I didn't even realize that there was a painter.
I don't think so. He's one of my favorite painters, but no, I don't think so.
Well, I often wonder about that when I see names of characters in plays, because mm-hmm. what is the playwright trying to say with that name subtly, if anything at all? So maybe not.
Right. I didn't even register that. I'm not that cool.
You're cool, Shelley.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm not that cool.
She is.
So the stories in this play, you say it's stories about stories.
Right.
And I don't want to ruin the ending. Of course, we never want to do that.
Right.
Is it a play in which the process of hiding the stories is more important than the story itself? Or is it like a TV show or a movie where the last moment in the story comes out and we reveal what the mystery was, who the murderer was, so to speak?
No, there's no murderer, which is good, I don't think it's that. To me, it's really, he does a great exploration of what people feel that their truth is and how, and like in a war, people will stick to their truths no matter what. And a lot of people think that they know the truth, but the truth is they need each other to figure it out.
That sounds great. Well, I want to take this moment to thank my guests, Shelley Wozniak, director of Other Desert Cities, and also Gigi Lynch, who's playing the part of Polly Wyeth in the play, currently performing at Cyrano's, running through November the 15th. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thanks so
much, Steve.
Thank you.
Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.